We are live from Dino's in Latrobe. Stop in, cool down, an ice-cold Miller Lite is waiting for you. All training camp coverage on 93.7 The Fan is presented by Smale Kia, brought to you by Miller Lite, Schley Deck, and New Flow Men's Health. Donnie Chedrick with you live from Dino's in Latrobe, recapping the first day of Steelers practice at St. Vincent College. Our guy Joel Nelson is with me behind the glass in Green Tree. Joel, are you familiar with the caller, Stephen Latrobe?
Maybe a little bit.
I feel like he calls relatively often, maybe not quite as often as an Anthony in Oakland or a Jeff in South Park or even JTB, but Stephen Latrobe is here. He's here with his boys. I might even let the guy put on a headset in 20 to 25 minutes from now. We'll see how I'm feeling about it, but he's fired up. He got me a drink, a great guy, our buddy Stephen Latrobe. And by the way, you can listen to the Fan Evening Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. The Steelers were ranked 19th by ESPN the other day. ESPN did a ranking of the NFL rosters, all of them, 1 through 32, and they put the Steelers at 19. And I can't say that I have a ton of gripes with some of the teams ahead of them. I think the Bears are being a little bit overrated by people heading into the season. Caleb Williams in year two, hot shot new offensive mind as a head coach, and Ben Johnson. I don't think the Cardinals have a better overall roster than the Steelers, but maybe I'm off there. I don't know. And these aren't just better offenses. These aren't just one side of the ball debates. These are better overall rosters. So I do think there are a couple of teams that probably should not be ahead of the Steelers given where they are right now, because this feels like a slight at the defense more than anything. The offense doesn't have very high expectations. Or maybe it's just, hey, the offense in Pittsburgh, we think it's that bad, to which the defense can't carry the load. But I'm about to tell you where all of the teams in the AFC North ranked. And when you hear at least one of them, you might be surprised that they are ranked that high. Now, the Ravens, they were first, not just in the AFC North. They were first in the entire NFL. This is a team that has been around the Super Bowl the last few years, but they have not gotten there. They have failed to win in those big moments, and that has ended their season. But really, since Lamar Jackson entered and took over full-time, the Ravens have been a legitimate Super Bowl threat. They just have yet to get there and win the big game. They do have a great roster. I think they are the clear-cut best team in the AFC North. They have arguably the best quarterback. Maybe you want to take Joe Burrow. You know, that's fine. But Lamar Jackson, a man who has won multiple MVPs, he's pretty good in his own right. They have a Hall of Fame running back in Derrick Henry, who is still playing at an extremely high level. Good receivers, a good set of tight ends, a really good set of tight ends. Mark Andrews had the bad drop in that playoff game in Buffalo, but I would still argue that he's the best tight end in the entire division. And Isaiah Likely, a pretty good number two behind him. Ravens have a pretty good offensive line. And then they don't really have a weakness defensively. I think they have a great secondary that is loaded with first-round picks. I think it's the best secondary in the AFC North, and that is even after the Steelers' addition of Jalen Ramsey. But once the team gets into the playoffs, the QB and some others on the roster flounder that opportunity. The Cincinnati Bengals come in ranked 9th out of 32 teams. There is heavy lifting, and then there is whatever this is that the offense is doing, and not even so much the entire offense. That's what's being done by Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase And let's throw T. Higgins in there because he's probably the second best receiver in the North. So the Bengals have two elite offensive players and a very good one. They have Orlando Brown Jr., who's pretty good. I think he gets a tad overrated by people. Mike Tomlin talked about the guy like he was the greatest left tackle in league history last year, if you watch the Hard Knocks series with the AFC North. But it's those three guys, and mostly just those two guys, doing a ton of the lifting, and I would really even say all of the lifting. Have you seen the defense in Cincinnati? That is still part of the game. I know that offense wins now more than it ever has before, but you still need to have something on the defensive side of the ball, and that defense was historically bad last season, and I'm not overly confident that it will be that much better this year. They have a new D coordinator, but they are also without their best player, Trey Hendrickson, who is making about a quarter of what T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett just got, so they better pay up at some point here in the not-too-distant future, or else he's gone. And he has back-to-back 17.5-sack seasons, so he's not just some flash-in-the-pan player. He's been a pretty good one, a very underrated one, and now everybody is starting to know his name. Oh, by the way, their first-round pick, who is also an edge rusher, he's not at camp either, because he has yet to reach a deal with the team. So who is rushing the passer for them? Nobody. Who is doing much of anything on defense for them? Yeah, okay, they shut down the Steelers in Week 18. That's all well and good. The Steelers were becoming a shell of themselves by that point in the season. It was very ugly football from the Steelers all around, especially on the offensive side by that point in the season. By the time we got to that late in the year, they weren't doing anything against anyone. What happened about a month prior to that? It looked like Russell Wilson went back to 2015. He put together one of the best quarterback games by a Steelers quarterback in the last decade. He torched every single layer of that Bengals defense. It was bizarre watching Russell Wilson and that Steelers offense go through what Cincinnati was putting out there defensively. It didn't make much sense, because it wasn't coming easy to them at any point over the last handful of years, and it was like hot knife meeting butter. Burrow played at an MVP level last season, and Chase was the Triple Crown receiver. He led the league in receptions, in yards, and in touchdowns. They still missed the playoffs. That's how bad the defense was in Cincinnati. And, okay, so they got a new defensive coordinator. They fired Lou Anarumo, who was once a guy pushing all of the right buttons and getting a lot of big plays out of people, and that was a big reason why the Bengals got to the Super Bowl a few years back. Don't get me wrong, Joe Burrow made some heroic plays in those playoff runs, but the defense was able to come up with the timely plays as well. And they did not have that last season. I don't know what way they were able to improve things for this season beyond changing a few of the chess pieces and changing who they had as their DC. So the Bengals, a top 10 roster in all of football. Offense, absolutely. The offense is probably top 5. The quarterback is on the current Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks in the NFL. It's a big four in the AFC, and he's on it. Allen, Mahomes, Jackson, Burrow. Some people flip around the orders. That's fine, too. They have an elite quarterback. They have probably the best wide receiver in all of football, and they have a pretty good number two receiver as well. But beyond that, that is not a roster that is worth or worthy of being number 9 out of all 32. Because then you go 10 more spots down, and that's where the Steelers are. 19 out of 32. And I mentioned a few teams that I took issue with being ahead of the Steelers. And the Bengals, they honestly may be one of them. I know that offense is what gets by in the league now. I said that a couple of minutes ago. And if you had to ask me which team would I rather be, I would probably say Cincinnati, but the quarterback is doing all of the lifting there. Otherwise, I kind of hate their roster. The defense sucks. The offensive line in Cincy is always overrated. They have Burrow and they have Chase. And then not too far behind, they have T. Higgins. So they have those guys, but they don't have much else. Overall, Steelers roster, really 2 through 53, you take away quarterback, I don't think it's close. I think the Steelers absolutely have a better roster than what the Bengals have. So that's a team I kind of have a gripe with. I mentioned a couple of others, the Bears being one of them. There's a lot of hype around them. Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson, they have added a lot to that offense. The expectations are getting higher and higher in Chicago, really by the year. And I think that team could be good, but I feel like we reach that point with them every couple of years, and they very rarely come through. But we're not going to worry about them. That's the NFC North, not the AFC North. Then we have the Cleveland Browns. Just such a lovable bunch in Cleveland. Ranked 31st out of 32 NFL teams. The only team they are ahead of is the Saints, and I think that's about right. The Browns will be one of the worst teams in football this season. They will be one of the teams eligible for the first overall pick and prone to take another quarterback with that top pick yet again. Hell, maybe they'll draft three of them next year. I don't know. Considering they drafted two in this past draft, it made zero sense. They draft Dylan Gabriel in the third round. I didn't think Dylan Gabriel was going to get drafted. He was probably as stunned as anybody that he got that call at the end of the second night. Shedeur Sanders, he had the all-time draft slide all the way to round five, and I don't fault the Browns for taking him there because of how far he fell, but it just did not make much sense considering they drafted a quarterback a couple of rounds before. They have Kenny Pickett. They have Joe Flacco. It is a quarterback derby, like a mid-quarterback derby in Cleveland. Maybe Shedeur Sanders becomes a star. Maybe Kenny Pickett is their starter. It could also be Joe Flacco. One of those guys will probably make the team, and the other guy will either get cut or traded. They'll try to trade one of them. If that doesn't work, the guy will just get cut free. And then again, Dylan Gabriel in the fold somewhere as a third-round pick. It just feels like that's a thrown-away pick unless he becomes a left-handed Drew Brees, which I don't really foresee. There's a real chance, too, that Kenny Pickett is the starter and he starts here in week six. That would be pretty electric, but the Browns' schedule is also not friendly whatsoever out of the gate. It is brutal. If you pull up that schedule, they play a gauntlet of teams. It kind of looks like what the Steelers had to deal with in the final 6 weeks of last season. There's a real chance the Browns are winless by the time that Steeler game happens. A chance. But the Browns do have one good thing. Edge rusher. Myles Garrett, he's a star. They have the ability to get after the quarterback. But otherwise, I think the Browns are a dumpster fire, which is really nothing new for them. 412-928-9370. Joel, do you think I'm way off there with any of that stuff? Cincinnati, 9 out of 32. I really didn't have that much of a gripe with Baltimore at number one because that team is really well put together. They have a great front office. I think you could argue they have the best head coach in the division. You could argue they have the best quarterback. They certainly have the best running back. Not the best receivers, but good ones, better ones than what they did have. Some really good tight ends. So they don't really give me the gripe. The Bengals ninth, and I know how good Joe Burrow is. I know how good Ja'Marr Chase is. The defense is just so bad, man. I can't really get behind it.
I think that's probably why they're nine and not a top five team, or at least top seven. I think it just speaks more volumes to where they stand right now with their defensive unit, because their top guy, Trey Hendrickson, they don't even know the future of his team. He may not even be with the team next year. That defense could be without zero star players on that unit.
Yeah, that's where I feel it could be even worse, because they had Hendrickson last year and they were still that bad, and Hendrickson was one of the best defensive players in the league. Had a better year than Watt. He was one of the most impactful guys in the entire league. And, oh, Joey just sent me a text here. What's going on here, Joel? What's your little update here?
The Raiders are releasing defensive tackle Christian Wilkins with the designation of terminated vested veteran, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. So after that big contract last offseason, no longer with the Raiders.
So a little bit more detail here, and this is interesting. Now the Steelers, they're really not in need of defensive tackle after what they did in the draft. But if you dig a little bit deeper into this, it also says due to how Wilkins treated the rehab from his foot injury, the Raiders voided the remaining $35.2 million of guaranteed money. And he will now be filing a grievance with the NFLPA. This is a pretty interesting one, Joel, considering how that second part reads. They basically told the guy he wasn't treating his rehab seriously enough, and they just cut bait. That's how that reads to me, and they were able to just get out of the money they owed?
I guess so. It looks understandable enough, or, you know, it seems pretty valid if he's going to treat his injury rehab the way it appears.
That's bizarre. That, I won't say it's something we've never seen. It has been something seen before, but that's not common how that reads. So that's some piece of NFL news we can chew on here for a minute. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. That's also the number of the fan text line, which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Coming up here, Joel, we'll let you get your pick in. We're also going to allow one of our loyal listeners hop on for a few minutes, but we will also have Joel's pick coming up around the bend. Fan Twitter, that's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Mike DeFabo joins us in about 30 minutes' time. Mark Cavalli joins us in 90 minutes. We are live from Dino's in Latrobe here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Fan Hotline, that's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Donnie Chedrick with you live from Dino's in Latrobe. Gabe and T-Bird here helping run the show. Our engineers on site, Joel Nelson, is behind the glass back in Greentree. Dino's is the perfect stop before or after practice. Enjoy a cold Miller Lite, award-winning chicken wings, a black and gold burger available throughout camp. This is something neat. We don't do this very often. We have Mike DeFabo coming on in about 25 minutes. Mark Cavalli will join us after 9 o'clock. But a loyal listener, a longtime listener to 93.7 The Fan, Stephen Latrobe, stopped out here. I told Steve, hey, hop on for a couple of minutes if you want to talk Steelers. So he is here with us now, and you promised, Steve, that you would keep the language under wraps for us here, which I certainly appreciate. But first, I mean, you were here last year too when I did my show at Dino's. There really aren't many spots better than where we are right now.
Absolutely not.
Your big Steelers concern coming into the season, both of the tackles, Broderick Jones, Troy Faltanu.
Absolutely. I mean, Fautanu, what kind of has me concerned is the fact that he was a left tackle at Oregon, and now he's coming over to the right, and they got Broderick Jones over to the left. Boy, they got to protect Aaron. I mean, he's 40-some years old, and they just have to protect him.
You have high hopes for Aaron?
I'm pessimistically dubious, if that makes sense. He's in his 40s. Today he threw a pick on his first pass, and that could have been very well just a thing, but man, the guy's mobility, and he's 2 years removed from an Achilles. I just don't know, man. I mean, it's concerning.
I do worry about that as well. I mean, he certainly didn't have the mobility last year in New York, but one of the guys behind him, somebody that you're high on, everybody seems to be high on, Caleb Johnson. He's like taking Steelers media by storm here.
And the thing with Caleb Johnson that has me curious is, will he become the bell cow? Will he become the Najee of this year? And will Jalen Warren just be the change of pace back? We've heard good things. It's day one. It's only day one, but we've heard some good things. But, is it going to be Caleb Johnson? Is he going to be the bell cow? Or is it going to be, is it going to be Jalen Warren?
I love Warren. I think by, the midway point of the season, though, we really start to see a 50-50 split.
I don't even think it's going to take that long. I don't. I think that probably by week two or week three, that Caleb Johnson is going to be the bell cow, and then Jalen Warren is going to go back to the change of pace. Today when they said he broke a couple long runs, and did some things that were, and it's just because, excuse me, but, he's younger and he's just better. I really think he's just better. I mean, I don't think his 40 times that they showed in the combine play as well as his on-field play in pads.
Yeah, he's like the opposite of what you see sometimes, because you'll get players. I mean, the Steelers had a guy like this, Dre Archer. He had the 40 time that was like barely outside of 4.1. It was almost record-setting. But the guy really couldn't play in the NFL because he was so small. I think Johnson, he didn't show out as well 40 time-wise at the combine or at his pro day, but he plays faster than what he actually looks.
He absolutely plays faster. And he has an ability to separate, and he has an ability to get into the backfield and see what's going on and make it work.
When it comes to wide receiver, you have some worries too. You're rolling your eyes. We were talking about this off air because you're not really sold on anybody outside of DK Metcalf.
I am not. I'm really concerned about Roman Wilson. I mean, for someone who was a rookie and couldn't even find the field and had a problem with the playbook, that concerns me. And Calvin Austin, I mean, they're all sold on him. And I don't believe that. I just don't. I mean, Roman Wilson could be a good three. I think Calvin Austin could be a good four, but I think they need a two.
I'll ask you your record prediction here in a sec. But what's your hot Steelers take for 2025? Something I haven't touched on here.
Disappointment. It's going to be disappointing.
Below 500?
No. I think it's going to be 9-8, and it's going to be just right there. And it's going to be Mike Tomlin being Mike Tomlin, and just kind of keeping it above, keeping it above grade. But with the questions about Broderick Jones, with the questions about Troy Fautanu, on defense when you lose Landon Roberts and you lose Menka and you lose other people, and then you have Peyton Wilson coming in and you have other people coming in that, you know, Herbig, he's been exposed so many times when he gets into different situations, you know? He really has. I mean, he's good in situational things, but when he's in there, he gets exposed. And so there's just a lot.
So is this a playoff year at 9-8, or they miss out?
No, I think they're going to make the playoffs just like they always do. And I really think that they're going to win a playoff game like people have said? Absolutely not. It's going to be a one and done, just like always. And Aaron Rodgers, boy, they better hope that the offensive line can keep him upright, because it's going to be ugly.
Stephen Latrobe. Steve, thanks for hopping on, man. It was cool to see you out here. Thank you for the beverage, too. I appreciate you being in the area and hopping on, man. This was cool.
Awesome.
Joel, I still promised you that we would do our thing tonight, so this is the time that we have for Joel's pick, because we have Mike DeFabo, who will be joining us in less than 20 minutes. Mark Cabali will join us just after 9 o'clock. So, Joel, what do you got for me?
Donnie, once I found out you were going to be doing the show from Dino's a handful of days ago, I figured, okay, the perfect Joel's pick is going to be, what are Donnie Chedrick's top five wing flavors at Dino's?
Oh,
I know what your number one is, but I want to hear the rest of the list.
So number one is definitely their sweet and hot. It is that might be my favorite all-time wing flavor of anywhere, because I just have not been able to find a place anywhere in or around Pittsburgh that has been able to match what Dino's has been able to do with the sweet and hot. So that is absolutely number one. My number two Dino's wing sauce is the Slicker, which is like the spicy barbecue type flavor. That one is, I use that, you know, sometimes it's, you know what, like a pitcher's go-to will be the fastball, and then they'll bring in the off-speed. That's sort of like my off-speed Dino's wing flavor, Joel. The fastball is always going to be the sweet and hot, but, you know, you bring in something to change things up, and it's going to be the Slicker. Number three is honey mustard. And all of their flavors, at least to my knowledge, and they certainly taste this way, are like from scratch, in-house, homemade. So that makes it a little bit more special, too. Their honey mustard is outstanding. I've had that on plenty of occasions. You know, if I want to go with sweet and hot, where it's a case of sweet and hot, and maybe I want to go with something that is, you know, completely the other direction, that's when I'm going to go with a honey mustard flavor, a black and gold type flavor. That one is really good. I'll put that at number three. Number four, I will just go with their traditional buffalo. They also have a sauce here that is called like the Lewis, and then the even hotter Lewis. Those are like their hottest sauces. Their just traditional hot wing is a step below those. It's like there's almost like a buttery twist to it, so it's not just like, hey, they put some Frank's Red Hot on this thing and they called it a day. Like, there is definitely a mix of a butter type flavor to kind of sweeten it a hair, and I think that's a really good one. So that's what I would put at number four. And then number five, I will go with a like dry rub Cajun / Chipotle here. I like to mix it up with these every now and then too, and I know that this ranking would sound similar no matter where I was doing it, just given my preferences, because I am somebody who loves a sweet and hot type flavor, and the other ones are pretty traditional sounding, but you toss in a dry rub in there, and that can be a nice way to mismatch like a saucy wing. Because I oddly, we may have had this conversation too before, Joel. I like a good sauced wing, like covered with like a healthy amount of sauce. I don't like when it's over saturated.
Of course.
I don't like when it's like sopping in whatever sauce it's in, and where it's like, okay, are you putting this much sauce on because you're trying to hide the actual quality of wing? Because, you know, sometimes you'll hit places where the sauce is pretty light, but the actual wing quality itself is really good. I was in D.C. over the weekend. I had a place that was just like that, where it was a kind of a hint of the flavor I was looking for, but the actual wings themselves, the actual chicken was really good. So, yeah, I think I would definitely go sweet and hot one. Slicker, honey mustard, just traditional hot, and then I would go with the, like, Cajun dry rub after that. But this is absolutely a place, Joel, that you have to try to get out to and try their wings. I don't know if there's at any point where, with your busy schedule, you're able to make it out here and maybe go to a training camp practice and then come here either before or after. But I'm telling you, this is a place that I think you would really enjoy.
I'm gonna find a way at some point, Donnie. I will find a way to get myself to Dino's in Latrobe and get my hands on as many of the wing sauces as I can.
They have other stuff on the menu too, to where, like, it's one of those places where everything is good. Sometimes you'll have a place and it's, hey, they're known for their wings. They're known for their burgers. Like, okay, the wings are certainly better here. The burgers are really good here too. But it's like everything you get here is good. I brought it up to the guys earlier that they have like a wing pizza where you can get like pizza just topped with chicken, and you can get whatever sauce is on their list. So you can get like a sweet and hot pizza. And I think Sarah got one of those actually a little bit earlier, and I'm already excited about the leftovers with that, Joel. So I don't know where you come down on that kind of thing, or quesadillas.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, like quesadillas with sweet and hot chicken in there. It's a pretty outstanding menu. Their black and gold burger, I think, is the one that is like a burger that is bunned on the top and bottom by a grilled cheese.
Wow.
I don't know if you ever had anything like that.
No, but that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, so I think that's definitely where I would go with my five wing flavors. But again, you know, if you're somebody that's out in the area at any point over the course of training camp, you really can't miss with anything on the Dino's menu. So you come here before or after practice on a day like this, you try to come in here and cool off, and you're gonna bat 1,000 with what they are able to offer menu-wise. We may have to do this for the next couple of these, though, Joel, because I think we're together
next Thursday, right?
Yeah, next Thursday I'll be at the Steel City Sport and Social at Live Casino. So I think I may be trying some wings there too. I had some tonight before the show, but I think I may also be trying some next week at Live Casino. So a live review could be in order. I also could tell, I don't know how long you'll be at the station, but we could send back some wings for you, Joel, if you wanted to try the famous sweet and hot, because we do have T-Bird, we have Gabe here, the guys setting up. We could send them back with wings. They did that for Charlie last year. So just let us know. Just shoot me a text, Joel.
If they can make it for 11:30 tonight, it might work out.
I think we can make that happen. I think we could absolutely make that happen. So you just send me a text, Joel, or we'll just send like 10 sweet and hot wings your way after this show. We'll take care of you, buddy. But coming up, Mike DeFabo from The Athletic. He will join us at 8 p.m. Mike is a Latrobe native. He went to Greater Latrobe High School. He'll hop on with me here in a couple of minutes. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. It's hot. Potential rain tomorrow. You know those pop-up showers that you get in the summertime. Both Pittsburgh and Latrobe prone to those showers as well. So if you are out at training camp, there's a chance of those showers coming in and hitting you. Temps could reach the low 90s tomorrow. So another hot one for the second Steelers practice of training camp 2025. Mike DeFabo, he joins us at 8. We are live from Dino's in Latrobe right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.